In the midst of the Great Recession, and as Arizona was trying to dig itself out, one of the recurring themes was diversifying the economy. Yes, population growth and construction and real estate are great, so are sunshine and warm weather, but does that make a state truly competitive? What about being ahead of the pack with some industries or establishing yourself as a tech and innovation leader? Has the state done enough economic diversifying to be ready for the next inevitable recession? With me to talk about that are economist Jim Rounds of Rounds Consulting and Chris Camacho, president and CEO of GPEC, the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. Jim, I'm going to start with you. What steps have you seen taken to improve the situation, and have lessons been learned?
I think a lot of lessons were learned. One of the problems that we had going into the downturn is we had a lot of high-paying, semiconductor manufacturing, and we didn't really replace those jobs when they went out. So we still had a diverse economy, but we were growing, so we're always going to be dependent on residential construction and the local market industries to some extent. But you can't have somebody come in and get a job working to get the next person to come in to get a job working in construction or housing. You actually have to have base sector industries that are the higher paying ones that make the economy work. So we got away from that a little bit during the 90s and 2000s. We were very aggressive with economic development before that, and it was a complete change. I think when the population growth slowed and we finally had a downturn that was worse than the national average, because every previous one we did better, it woke people up and we really changed how we approached building the economy.
Chris, how important is it to find those sort of base industries? Where do you think we're at in terms of growing with that diversity part?
Well, I still think we have a long road to go, even though that the recession is behind us, and I think we still have at least 6-8 quarters of immense growth ahead. So I'm really optimistic about the near-term view, but I think the diversity of the economy, as I look at it, there is a dramatic change in how headquarters are shifting or ultimately not shifting across the United States. There's a shift from high-tax, highly regulated states like California, New York, Connecticut, and others, where companies are quietly divesting and moving headcount out of those high-cost markets and placing the headcount and capital into places like Phoenix and Dallas and Atlanta that are much more attractive operating environments. As it relates to kind of our local position, we are more economically diverse than we were prior to the recession, but I think there's still a tremendous amount of work to do to intensify innovation, support small, medium-sized enterprises that need to export or want to export, and really grow and really retain higher wage jobs. As Jim talked about, aerospace and defense, microelectronics and healthcare, we got to be doing a heck of a lot more to spur innovation.
Do we have to have a signature industry? We've all heard the phrase, and Chris, you've probably had to use it, the Silicon Desert. In today's economy, is it important to have that brand?
Yeah, ironically, it drives me crazy when I hear people say Silicon anything, because it's you're trying to emulate a market that was created by a significant amount of federal government money, coupled with really strong universities with capital, the capital ecosystem. No other place, at least I think in our lifetime, will be created like Silicon Valley. So with that said, and I hope people stop saying that, we need to build our own strategy, which will be hyper-based on innovation, small, medium-sized growth companies, and really how we see a new phenomenon of building public-private innovation clusters is going to be focused on driving innovation with our legacy sectors. I can give you example after example from companies like Boeing, who put their Global Security Operations Center here, to Honeywell, which is their aerospace division, is here. Many of these companies want to do more in places like Greater Phoenix, but it's all about the engineering talent, the technical talent, which then breeds in the conversation about education. And so that is a paramount position. Our other kind of regulatory and tax positions were incredibly favorable. It's going to come down to, in the next 20 years, I believe, to how we educate and put now these students on pathways to meet industry demands, and not just supporting, pursuing educational outcomes that don't align with industry.
What Chris said is probably one of the most important things that we need to discuss in terms of the economics and public policy related to this. And it's, we did come out of the downturn strong. We're doing well, especially in relative terms, but not quite up to our normal historical standard in terms of growth, but still doing well, top five in the key economic categories. But the work's never done. And we went from almost dead last in job growth, and we had no economic development programs. We still needed to tinker with tax policy, lots of things. And in a very short amount of time, about 5 years, a lot changed, and people will forget that is not a lot of time to change as much as we did. Great public policy happening, but you have to keep moving forward because everybody else is as well. And so sometimes people like to see that number. You're doing well. We're number five in population, job growth, income. But if you don't keep pushing and get into specific areas, like we can't just generalize. I think we went from being, let's talk about tax policy in the sunny weather from before the downturn. Mm-hmm. Then let's talk about some economic development programs. Now let's get into, let's actually get some specific programs and get stuff done that targets specific things where you have a return on investment for taxpayers. Because when you start doing that, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, it's good policy.
I just wanted to go back to one question earlier. We launched this regional strategy called The Connected Place, and it was really about telling the story of the legacy transformation of, think of Motorola, Intel, Microchip, semiconductors, aerospace and defense, and healthcare, morphing to these emerging technologies like autonomous vehicles, wearables, Industry 4.0. There's no longer a facility that gets established in Greater Phoenix that isn't smart. So whether it's Amazon building a fulfillment center, there's going to be a tremendous amount of robotics and AI in every fulfillment center. The world's changed. And I think as we've been very open to the regulatory framework of fintech, but also autonomous vehicles. I met with a global leading OEM yesterday, was in town from Europe, and they have zeroed in on Greater Phoenix being the epicenter for autonomous vehicles for their deployment in the United States. And so there's tremendous amount of potential in this kind of new economy.
Well, Chris, the autonomous vehicle one is interesting because in many ways, it's obviously very positive, but we can't forget, of course, the terrible accident that happened in Tempe. We want to be a sandbox. You mentioned fintech, but can you attract enough businesses if you say, we're open to you, but we also have to have some rules? Is that harder as technology changes?
Yeah, so I'll give you some thoughts. I mean, obviously the Uber tragedy a few months ago, I think the industry took a deep breath after that. And as the overall study outcome of that wreck, it was human error. I mean, it came down to human error. And so in all my meetings, and I meet with, dozens of AV companies, and it's almost like when a new vaccine comes to market, there's going to be some downsides to the initial curve of adoption. And again, I don't want to underplay the importance of how that works. At the same time, if you look at avoidable crashes, 94% chance of mitigating that crash through autonomous vehicles. So over the next 25 years, if you look at the curve of adoption, the one thing I think that's changed since this Uber wreck just a few months ago is when I talk to the companies, they're looking at more modular approaches to imagine you're going to be in the next few years, driving your car down the road, and there's going to be systems that you may modify within your car for data collection, mapping, warning systems, versus the expectation was you're going to be driving riding in an autonomous vehicle car in the next 2 to 3 years. I think it's going to be developed over a longer term curve so that there's a cultural adoption opportunity for the marketplace.
There's going to be another recession. It's cyclical. Stuff happens. And, obviously the recession we saw a decade ago was beyond anyone's wildest nightmare. So let's leave that aside. But when the next recession comes, let's say it happens in 3 years, how ready is Arizona going to be?
So in terms of the economics, we have economics and then we have budgets whenever we talk about a downturn. So on the economics, I think we'll go back to being maybe no worse than the U.S. as a whole, possibly better because we've shored up our economy. The fiscal side really depends on what we do the next couple or 3 years. Longer term, though, I think we have to take advantage of this current period of time where the economy is still healthy and make sure that any momentum that we get in trying to develop some additional industries, and I'm not talking about just bringing in wholly new industries, but going into tangential ones where you're building off strengths of another, and we make sure that those don't get impacted. So whatever work we're doing now, recessions often erase a lot of what the good stuff that you did the prior year or two. I'm hoping that we can figure out a way of shoring that up. And I think that comes down to, again, good policy, good leaders like Chris. Everybody has to be pretty diligent.
Well, so one thing that we've uncovered in the last few years is that if you study the national economy, most of the innovation and job success is coming within regions, densified regions. So Phoenix being the fifth largest city in the United States, this region connected by 22 different markets, 22 different jurisdictions, there's an appetite to work together and lead. So we're 76% of the state's economy today. The other side of this is how do we grow a base of industry that's not just the tailwind industry, so not just hospitality jobs, construction jobs. And again, I'm glad we have those. I'm glad we have those because if we didn't, it'd be a different story. With that said, the intensity around the supporting ecosystem to help that entrepreneur that's in his or her garage wanting to get to market, their product to market, we need to support more of those industry enterprises because that's our future and that's how markets are creating their economic success.
Chris Camacho is president and CEO of GPEC, the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. Jim Rounds, an economist with Rounds Consulting. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.